and the world around.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, brother. How are you doing? Good. Amen. We thank God. Yeah, so we thank God for another good day that God has given us, and to look at His Word. And by His grace, we shall be able to look at the love of God, and maybe just look at two areas in 1 John chapter 3, and then also Psalms 103, and this basically just looking at the manner of love or the compassion that a father has for his children. And you know, when we think of God as a father, and he created families, you know, God, the Bible tells us that from God the Father, from whom all families come from, like every family in heaven and on earth comes from God. And there is something that God desires to do in His love, in His expression of Himself. He desired to have children, or rather, He desired to have sons of God. He desired to have beings that are made in His image and likeness to join Him, or rather to be part of His family, to be close to Him. And that is what we human beings are. We human beings are those that God, in His mercy, in His divine wisdom, chose to love us and to have concern for us. And you would wonder, how important are we to God, considering if we look at ourselves, we are like the least of all the creatures that are on the earth. You know, or not even on the earth, even in the heavens. I mean, if you think of how majestic angels are, if you think of how, you know, look at the living creatures, look at the elders, look at all this, and yet God says that these are the ones which are My sons. It's really a humbling thought. And maybe let's just open 1 John chapter 3, and then we can look at that as we reflect on the manner of love that, you know, that God has given us. And we'll read from King James. 1 John chapter 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." If we look at that in NIV, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Verse 3, and it says, "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Just looking at that, it's just telling us that, can you imagine, can you think of the manner of love that God has poured upon us, that we should be called the children of God? And this is, we should be called sons of God, that we are children of God. You know, that He has called us His own. He has adopted us into His family. He's shared His glory with us. He has poured out His glory, His mercy with us. He has given us His authority. He has given us his influence. He has extended that authority that He has, that He had in the heavens and on the earth. He gave it to man, and He said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." But who are the sons of God? It is us who have believed in Jesus. Remember, He's writing to the church, and He's telling them that the world does not know us, because it neither knew Him. He did not know him. You see, when Jesus was on the earth, the world did not understand him. They had no idea who he was. And he never even wanted, I mean, it was hidden. Remember when he was telling his disciples that your eyes have seen what, you know, the prophets of old desire to see. Like, to them I speak in parables, but to you I speak plainly. You know, blessed are your eyes, for you see. So we can see that it is God's love, God's mercy, that he released that grace for us to come and meet him, for us to come and know him. And the world does not know us because they did not know him. So even to the world, we still remain hidden. Because when you tell, I mean, like when you encounter someone and they're like, you know, like where, I mean, they ask you, are you Muslim? And you're like, no. Christian, then they walk away. The moment you say you're Christian, someone just walks away quickly. And it's because they don't know that you are sons of God. The world does not know us because it does not know God, and it did not know God. But it says that because at this point we are still hidden in flesh, at this point the glory of God, the mystery of the new man, the new man that is made in the image and likeness of God, that new man is still covered in this earthly tent. And that's when you know, when Paul says that I'm torn in between, I desire to go and be with the Lord, or to be present with you, you know, or, you know, which is of great gain, or to stay with you, which is for your gain. And then say, okay, I decide I will stay so that you may benefit. So the new believer, or rather the new creation, must have constantly have that understanding that he has a new man in him that is made in the image and likeness of God. And for now, it is not yet clear how, you know, what we shall be, because our finite minds cannot imagine that glory of God that he has already made us, and how we shall appear in that time. And it says that for now it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when Christ shall come, when he shall come again to be, you know, to take his church, when he shall come for that marriage supper of the Lamb, supper of the Lamb, in that wedding where we shall be clothed, you know, like the New Jerusalem, covered with a veil, and we shall come and be united with our Lord. The Bible says we shall be like him, and because we shall see him as he is. And the Bible says that everyone who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. Look at how God gives us various ways that he makes us holy. Just as you think of that glory, if you think of the thing that God will make us to be, if as you just reflect on that thought that we are made in the image and likeness of God, we are restored to the glory of God, we are made in the new man, we are one spirit with him, we are united with him, we shall be like him, just like he is, we shall see him as he is. And that is the love of God that he has poured out on us. And every man, every believer that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. And then of course he goes on further, and this is what we read last time, of where he speaks of we should not be sinning, you cannot abide in sin, you cannot live in sin, and because if you sin, you're of the devil, and because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. Let's just jump to Psalms 103 and we can reflect on the compassion and the love of our Father, the pity, how our Father loves his children. And we can read from Psalms 103 from verse 8. Psalms 103 from verse 8. It says that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Maybe I can read in NIV. It says that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, and slow to anger and abounding in love. Our God abounds in love. Our God is full of love. He is compassionate, he's gracious, he's slow to anger, and abounding in love. I mean, you know, many times you'll speak to people and they'll be like, ah, you know, you see these people, they're always sinning, things are going well on for well for them. You know, like the wicked are prospering, those who do evil things, they are proceeding in life, in our idea, they're proceeding. And you see, like, they're getting jobs through corruption, or they're getting all these houses, they're getting all these cars, they're growing in business. I mean, people who just joined power or something like that, in a short time, they're already, you know, changing everything that they were, and you know it is not in the right way. And at times you're like, God, when are you sending judgment on these people? When are you sending judgment on these people? But the Bible tells us that God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Verse 9, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. God is slow to anger. That means that he is always patient. It's just like if you had a child and the child is, you know, struggling or not doing well, or, you know, you want the child to improve. A father that loves that child will continually keep guiding this child and not get angry easily. I know there are people, yes, who just get angry. You get up, let's go. But a father, God as our father, he is slow to anger in that he takes us at our pace. You know, like, he can be patient with someone even up to 70 years. Like, I had this story of, you know, someone who was a youth pastor, and he met this youth pastor who was like 70 something years. And this guy was, you know, in jeans, in t-shirt, in, you know, chains and with a cap. And he asked him, hey, pastor, what is happening? You know, he's like, at this point, I mean, you should not be dressing like this. Then the pastor was like, you know, when I was a teenager, or rather when I was 20, or I, you know, God called me to be a youth pastor. But then, you know, I got a girlfriend, I got married, I ran away from the ministry, and I've been out of ministry. But then when I came back to the Lord in my 60s or 65 there, then God still reminded me of the call that he had given me to be a youth pastor. And so for, you can imagine, for over 45 to 50 years, God was still waiting for him to come back and do that ministry that he had given him when he ran away when he was 21. So you can see that God is slow to anger. God is not slow in the way we understand slowness. You know, at times people feel like, this God has been saying he's coming back, he has delayed. And this is what Peter speaks about. He says that our God is merciful. He takes his time. He wants people, all men, to repent. His desire is that men to repent. God's love for people is that he does not want them to die in their sin. You must always understand, for us at times we want to judge people. You know, I think I was hearing some clip where this pastor was cursing members who have left his church. I mean, you know, let them be cursed and all that. But that is not the heart of God. That is not the heart of a father. The heart of a father is, even if someone wants to leave, you allow them to leave and you bless them. Because when your child grows and they feel that they need to go somewhere else, release them, let them go. Because you have matured them to the point where they can be independent. But you see, people, human beings are different. They see none of these are our members. Where are they living? Where are they doing this? They shall be cursed. They shall do this. But you see, the heart of the Father is one of love. And that's why we are seeing that he will not always accuse forever, nor does he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. You know, if God was to treat us as our sins, you know, the law, I mean, if you think of the law, you know, when you encounter, you know, a policeman or something like that, and you commit sin, anytime you go to the judge will treat you as your sins deserve. And He is right because he is exercising his judgment, because that is what the law does. Whether, you know, it's like, I think the statement is, ignorance is not a defense. Even if you are saying you don't know, that one is not a way to defend yourself. You cannot defend yourself to the law that you did not know. Ignorance is not a defense. But to God, the Bible tells us that he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. And this is something that David discovered. David discovered the mercy of God. David discovered that God does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Verse 11 says that, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us." God's love is so great for those who fear him. Live in fear of God. What is living in fear of God? Living in fear of God is living in obedience, recognizing his presence, recognizing that God is in charge and that God is seeing. You know, at times the reason why people do anything that they want is because they've lost the fear of God. One of the greatest characters that will keep you in your faith, will keep you strong in your faith, is always having a fear, a reverential fear of God. Anytime you still know that God is watching, anytime you feel that no, I cannot sin against my God. And this is what, you know, Joseph said. He said that, "How can I do such a wicked thing against my God?" And he ran away. The reason people most of the time fall into sin is because they lose that fear of God. They lose that honor of God. They forget he is there. They forget the judgments of God. They forget that our God is a consuming fire. They only think of, you know, the grace of God, the mercy of God. But yet that is part of him, but also there is a part of him that is merciful to those who fear him. When we walk in the fear of God, when we walk in the reverence of God, we experience his great love. And anyone who has walked this journey of faith, anyone who walks as a believer, will know that there are things that come to you, not just because you worked for them, not because you did so much or you did anything, but just because of the love and mercy of God. And why? Because you walk in fear of him, you honor him, you trust in him. Verse 13, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." Verse 17, "But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with the children's children, with those who keep his covenant and obey his precepts." God has compassion. You know, compassion is really that love that has feeling. Is that love that is merciful? Is that love that is feeling? God knows our struggles. He knows the pain that we go through. He knows where the challenges that we face. You know, we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. One, because he has been gone through the heavens. He has been tempted in every way, just like we are. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our challenges. He knows our strengths. And that's why he says, as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear. For he knows how we are formed. He knows everything about us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows, you know, how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we are just like grass. We are just like a flower, that we are here today and we are gone. We are blown away. But God's love is everlasting to everlasting. He pours out his love on us. He pours out the love of our Father, and not just for us, but also for our children's children. Are we going to be those people who focus on the love of God, think of the compassion of God, think of his faithfulness, think of his grace, and just think of it? The Bible says, behold, what manner of love that the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God. God has made us his sons. God has called us his sons. God has shown his mercy to us to be his sons. And not because we deserve it, not because we have done so many things, but in his mercy, he chose us that we should know him. And by us knowing him, he gives us that ability to walk in fear with him. And as we desire to walk with him, as we walk in understanding, as we walk in love, as we walk in obedience, as we think about the things that he has done, God continues to purify us, to make us holy, to make us righteous, and to help us walk with him. You know, if we think of the prodigal son and the demonstration of the love of a father, the Bible says, while he was afar off, the father saw him and ran and met with him. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. If we just think of, the father had every right to chase away the prodigal son. He had every right to tell him, no, go and be a slave, or never come back to this house, you wasted my property. But you see, God, who demonstrates himself in as the father of the prodigal son, he said, this son of mine was lost, but now is found. This son of mine was dead, but now he's alive. Get the best robe for him, put on a ring on him, slaughter the fattened calf. I mean, let us celebrate that this son is back. And that is how God thinks, and that is how God looks, and that is how the mercy of God abounds in us. He remembers, he knows that we are dust. And that's why there's always great rejoicing when one sinner turns back to the Lord. Whenever we fall into sin, what the enemy always does is that he blinds us to keep us away from God, in that he keeps us in shame. He say, what have you done again? You've messed up. You said you will stop this. You're still doing this. You know, you're struggling with this. You're not making any progress. You're not a Christian. All this. He keeps us away from God in that state of sin. But if we just think like the prodigal son just got to his senses and said, no, I can go back to my father. I can go back to him. Anytime we fall, just be quick to go back to the father. Why? Because he is merciful. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. He is compassionate. He has mercy on you as a child. He knows you are a child. He knows that this is a journey that you're going through. Even there are things that God sees and he knows, and he says, no, this child is growing. This child is still making it. This child is waking up. This child is getting stronger. Yes, he has faced this challenge, but it is not the end. Arise and stand. Arise and stand. You can go back to my father. You can go back to our father. That's why the prodigal son said, I will go back to my father. Why? Because he knows the character of God. He knows the attributes of God as a God of love and as a compassionate father. That's why the Bible says, just think of it. Behold, see what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we shall be called sons of God. And that is what we are. We are children of God. And for me, one thing that blesses me is just to know that as a child, I can't unchild myself. Like, I can't dissociate myself from being a child. I continue to be a child. Why? Because I am born into his family. I am born again. I am born of God. I cannot be unborn. I stay a child. Even if I have become dirty, I am a dirty child. Let me go and get clean with my father. I am his child and he loves me. Let us always remember that as long as we are still alive, there's still a chance for repentance. There's still a chance to come back to the love of God. I will stop there for today, and I pray that God will just settle that in our hearts, that we are loved of God, and God has great love for us who fear him. He has poured out his love for us, and everyone who just thinks of this thought of what we shall be, we shall see him, is purified in it. And let us keep on loving him and believing him. My brother, you're welcome. Okay, good. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I bless your name. I worship you. I give you glory. I thank you that you have loved us. And your love is great for us. Maybe we've been far away off. There's someone who's been far away and has never experienced this love of God, this love of God as a father. The love that is from everlasting to everlasting. The love that is slow to anger and abounding in love. I pray that you may pour out your love into our hearts through your spirit today, that we might experience that patience, that concern, that pity that a father has to his children. And I thank you that indeed we can experience it. We can walk in it. We can grow in it. We can know that you are concerned for us. You know our weaknesses. You know our challenges. And to you, it is nothing because of your great love for us. Give us the courage to know you, the comfort to know you, to experience your comfort. And even for them that need forgiveness, I pray that you pour out your forgiveness, even as you ask of your forgiveness and you ask of your acceptance. Purify us in the truth. Purify us by your blood, that we continue to experience your grace. I thank you for them that need a breakthrough, them that need answers, them that need your favor in whatever that they do. I pray that they shall be blessed and ordered of you. You are in control and you're in charge. Thank you for healings. Thank you for answers. Thank you for miracles, oh God. Thank you for everything that you do for us. We pray all this trusting and believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless and have a blessed, blessed day. Shalom. Bye-bye. You are young.